This is Rural Health Leadership Radio.
Episode 36, a conversation with Peggy Wheeler, Vice President of the Rural Health Care Center at the California Hospital Association.
I've always felt that these rural communities had sort of an advantage when it came to population health because of the relationships they have with their residents and their patients.
Welcome to the Rural Health Leadership Radio with your host, Dr. Bill Oxier. Each week, Dr. Oxier has a conversation with a different rural health leader to discuss what's working and what's not working in rural health, along with other topics of interest to rural health leaders. Rural Health Leadership Radio's goal is to improve health in rural America by providing a simple, no-cost means to share information and connect rural health leaders from around the country. And now, here's Dr. Oxier with today's guest.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Rural Health Leadership Radio. I am your host, Dr. Bill Oxier, and today's guest is Peggy Broussard Wheeler, Vice President of Rural Health Care Center at the California Hospital Association. The Rural Health Care Center represents small and rural hospitals and other members of the sponsoring organizations who provide service to rural populations in the state of California and is acknowledged as the primary body for rural health care policy on behalf of its members. Peggy is responsible for developing, advocating, and executing public policies, legislation, and regulations on behalf of rural hospitals at the state and national levels. Peggy serves on the National Advisory Committee on Rural Health and Human Services. The committee serves as an independent advisory body to the Department of Health and Human Services on issues related to how the department and its programs serve rural communities. As a committee member, Peggy helps to analyze key rural issues under the purview of the Secretary of Health and Human Services and submit recommendations for possible solutions. On top of all that, Peggy serves as the issue manager for language access and governance issues, as well as hospital prison issues. Peggy, thank you so much for being a guest and welcome to Rural Health Leadership Radio.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be here.
So, Peggy, why did you choose healthcare as an occupation?
Well, Bill, I think for me, from an early age, I knew I wanted to go into a profession where I could help people. So I started college, as many people do, as a pre-med student, but pretty soon after that, decided to write my own major in healthcare administration. The college I was going to did not have a major in healthcare, and so my advisor helped me write my own major. And then healthcare administration became the profession that I created that could help me develop policy that would help people at a macro or global level.
That's pretty cool. You got to write your own major in college.
It was great. I had a great enthusiasm from my advisor because the advisor, I think, wanted to be able to promote this as a major, and now it is a major at the college.
So that explains why you chose healthcare. Why rural health?
Truthfully, Bill, rural health chose me. When I completed my master's in public health, I was offered a position at the University of Arizona Rural Health Office, now called the Arizona Center for Rural Health. As part of that job, my responsibilities were making assessments in rural communities for physician recruitment. So I traveled extensively to all of the rural communities and Indian Health Service sites in Arizona and was amazed at the care that was being delivered under adverse circumstances and being delivered by people who really had a passion for it. It was that passion that was contagious for me. I truly admire and respect the strength and resilience of rural communities, and I've been in rural ever since.
Was that based in Tucson?
It was. It was with the University of Arizona in Tucson.
Okay, great. I love visiting Arizona. That's a beautiful state. So one of the questions I ask everybody, Peggy, so I have to ask you this as well. What is your definition of leadership?
Good question, Bill. I would say that I have many definitions for leadership. And when I think of leadership, I automatically go in my mind to the people that I have admired, that I have worked with, Not all of them with an official title that says leader, mm-hmm. but it's demonstrated through their commitment, through their adaptability, willingness to adapt to the circumstances, always collaborative. There's not a leader I've met that's not willing to say, it's not just me up here, it's my entire team. They are collaborators. And they step up. They're not out in front to get the recognition. They're out in front to bring others with them. They don't need to get the credit. The reward is their success. And they always give credit to the team.
That's nice. A few words that you said jumped out at me during your definition, commitment, adaptability, and collaboration, I think were the three words that
absolutely
really resonated with me. So thank you. Nice definition. Thank you so much. You know, we hear a lot about rural hospitals closing, and, you know, 1 in 3 rural hospitals are at risk of closing. You know, what's the state of affairs of rural hospitals in the state of California?
California is not immune to those same risks that you have described. I think we have experienced about 5 closures in the last 10 years, so luckily not that many in rural. But we just had one rural hospital close last year that I think really came to me and to those in the hospital community as a shock. This was a sole community hospital in a relatively isolated community. But we just thought that, I guess we weren't aware of the financial distress that this hospital was in. Interestingly enough, the Rural Healthcare Center of the California Hospital Association holds an annual Rural Healthcare Symposium, and we just held this symposium last week. It's our yearly convening where we bring together rural hospital leadership, primarily for networking purposes, but also to give them an opportunity to get resources and education from experts across the country. Our keynote speaker this year was Dr. George Pink, who shared a model that they have developed that can predict the risk of financial distress. And it is that type of distress, financial distress, that is one of the factors that can lead to closure. Based on that predictive model, he was able to tell our audience that there are approximately 11 hospitals in California that are at high or mid-high risk of financial distress. Having that information is helpful because we can then focus in on those hospitals in particular and see if there are resources that we can bring to bear to help with those situations.
Yeah, so at your meeting that you just had, Peggy, other than it sounds like a very powerful presentation that Dr. Pink shared with a powerful model, was there a common theme of the meeting that you just had that people were talking about?
Yes, Bill, there was. The theme of the meeting was the key steps to sustainability. I think the timing of the meeting was right. We are living in a period of uncertainty, especially at the federal level with the repeal of the ACA. Mm-hmm. Rural hospitals in particular are very concerned because, as you probably know, most of the payer source in rural communities is government funding, whether it's the state Medicaid program, Medi-Cal in California, or at the federal level, Medicare. So these folks are highly dependent on that, and any repeal that would impact their ability to provide services and receive some form of reimbursement for those services makes them very nervous. So we were able to bring in some experts, both from the American Hospital Association, from the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, and from consultants that work with our hospitals on how to use their data to improve their finances. I think everyone that attended said it was very successful, and they were able to take things home that they can use in the future.
Excellent. Yeah, there's nothing like going to a great meeting, that's for sure. And it sounds like you had a powerful meeting there last week. So thank you for sharing that information with us. You deal with a lot of different rural health leaders, and I'm sure that some of the leaders of some of the rural hospitals that you deal with in California are being successful, and they're probably doing some unique things. Can you tell us about some of the things that are going on that some of your rural health leaders are doing that our listening audience might be interested in?
Sure, Bill. I'm very pleased and amazed with the innovation that our rural and critical access hospitals are doing in California. I'd like to mention that about 6 years ago, the critical access hospitals, and we have 34 here in California, joined together and formed a network under a HRSA grant, and it's called the California Critical Access Hospital Network. Okay. This network gives them the opportunity to do bigger projects as a collaborative of hospitals, as opposed to each individual hospital trying to do something in a particular area. Right now, that critical access hospital network is working together to gain experience in the area of population health. And nobody thought these small rural hospitals could do work in population health, but they're gaining experience in population health by doing a few care coordination projects. One project they're working on is trying to address the cost of providing care to their own employees, and can they work together by pooling their employees in geographic regions and addressing better care and coordinated care to their employees. We've got a small critical access hospital, very isolated, 10 beds, that saw a problem with a population that it works with on a neighboring Indian reservation. And so they applied for and received some money through the Medicare Flexibility Grant Program to build a diabetic education program, another small-scale population health where they will focus on diet, exercise, medication, and wound care. It's amazing. This is a small 10-bed hospital, and they're going to do some terrific work and be able to demonstrate some strong outcomes.
Yeah, that's great, and that's a creative application of resources to do that. So thank you.
Bill, I've always felt that these rural communities had sort of an advantage when it came to population health because of the relationships they have with their residents and their patients.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to see this happening.
Yeah, I think rural health is situated better than any other type of healthcare setting to really make an impact with population health management.
So I would agree.
Thank you, Peggy. Right now, we're going to take a short break to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back to continue a very interesting conversation with today's guest, Peggy Broussard-Wheeler, Vice President of the Rural Healthcare Center at the California Hospital Association. I often get asked what makes the Dynamic Leadership Academy for Rural Health different from other organizations that provide leadership development services. Well, let me share with you today reason number two. The Dynamic Leadership Academy for Rural Health emphasizes feed forward over feedback. Feedback is focused on the past. Feed forward is focused on the future. So, for example, when you drive your car or truck to work, you're moving forward toward your destination. You may look in the rearview mirror occasionally to see what's behind you, but you're primarily focused on where you're headed, where you want to go. The Dynamic Leadership Academy for Rural Health implements a similar philosophy with a disciplined process for lasting behavioral change that emphasizes feed forward. On top of that, the Dynamic Leadership Academy for Rural Health has an unprecedented guarantee. If there's no growth, if there's no improvement, there's no fee. That's how confident the Dynamic Leadership Academy for Rural Health is in their ability to assist successful leaders and successful leadership teams achieve greatness. So if you're a successful rural health leader looking for greater success for you, your team, or your hospital, call or email us today to schedule a free, no-obligation discovery call. Call 813-658-0422 or send an email to bill@billoxier.com today. Call or email today to get your discovery session scheduled. We're having a most interesting conversation today with Peggy Broussard-Wheeler, the Vice President of the Rural Healthcare Center at the California Hospital Association. Right before we took a little break there to hear from our sponsor, Peggy was sharing with us some of the things that some of the rural health leaders are doing out in the state of California with population healthcare management. You know, Peggy, you've seen a lot of rural health leaders. You've seen a lot of CEOs of rural hospitals. You know, what for those CEOs that are really making an impact, really being successful, what would you say are their top leadership strengths?
Rural hospital leaders are fairly unique individuals. They choose to be in rural.
That's one way to put it.
It is. And I mean it in the nicest, kindest way.
So do I.
Yeah. They choose to be in these rural environments. And many I've met, their whole career has been in rural. Some I've met have been in urban environments and wanted a little less stress, or that's what they thought they were getting. But they choose to work in these rural environments, and they're up to the task. They have a tendency towards inclusion, collaboration, and team leadership, a much needed set of skills if you're going to be successful in rural. They're among the most passionate people I think I've ever met, and yet they're so humble and generally will give credit for success to their entire team, even when they're individually recognized. We've had some recent rural hospital CEOs that were recognized in the Becker Hospital Review, and each time I've reached out to each one, they don't take credit for it. They say it's really a team effort. I'm the one being recognized, but it's really all the people behind me that I owe the debt of gratitude to.
Isn't it wonderful to know leaders like that and work with leaders like that?
It is so inspiring for me, and is the reason I absolutely love what I do every day.
So what are some of the unique things that the California Hospital Association is doing to advanced rural health in the state of California?
Bill, the California Hospital Association is an advocacy, statewide advocacy organization. It's our role to protect our hospitals from unnecessary state and federal regulation and or regulation. We do a fantastic job of that. I'll brag a little bit that my colleagues here at CHA have the strongest skill set of any staff that I've ever worked with. And as I said, it's a pleasure to work with them and their commitment to the work every single day. The Rural Healthcare Center in particular is a unique policy body within the California Hospital Association that serves to look at rural health policy through a 13-member Rural Hospital CEO Advisory Board. So we elect representative rural hospital CEOs to serve 3-year terms on this advisory board. And then as we create and develop policy at the Hospital Association, we have that policy reviewed by the advisory board so that they can take a look at its impacts specific to rural. I think it's a unique thing that the Hospital Association does. A recent project that the advisory board took on, because of our earlier conversation around rural hospital closings, we started to look at the development of alternative delivery models. This is something that's going on at a national level as well. But because we're unique here in California, we have unique regulation, unique legislation, we wanted to look at it from the California perspective. That meant we needed to explore what are the essential healthcare skills that need to be provided in our rural communities. So if a hospital cannot be sustained in a rural community, what will work there? Is it an urgent care center? Is it a freestanding emergency department? So we're looking at each of those models and exploring them now as a way to talk about preserving access to care.
Interesting. So for the alternate models that you're looking at, have any of those in the implementation process? Are you moving forward with that?
Where we are now is actually gathering all of the models together. There was a recent paper released by the American Hospital Association that had put together a task force called the Task Force on Access to Care in Vulnerable Communities. They put forth 9 models. We've been exploring each of those models to see how they might work in California. And once we get through that evaluation process, then we'll go to the next step and maybe do some pilot programs to see if those models might work in some of our communities.
Excellent. You know, a few months ago, I had as a guest Ryan Kelly. He's the executive director of the Mississippi Rural Health Association. And of course, Mississippi is a far distance from California with a unique set of situations. But one of the CEOs that Ryan works with has an analogy that I've quoted many times, and that is that you have to look at a hospital as a gas station. Gas stations don't make any money selling gasoline. They make money selling the potato chips, water, and all that sort of thing. So hospitals need to do the same thing. The hospital may not make much or might even lose money from the acute care stuff, but by having wellness centers and these other options, nursing homes, whatever, that's how they can be financially strong. It's a
right. And as we have these ongoing discussions, I'm sure you've heard the term, you know, we're moving from volume to value, and how do we cross the shaky bridge? And, you know, hospital administrators are required to think outside the box of the way they've been providing care in their communities. So if you don't have heads in beds, how are you going to be sustaining the health care in your community? Right. I think our hospital leaders are up to the task. As long as we get the support from both our federal and state partners and the stakeholders in our communities.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So you've kind of touched on this a little bit, but let me ask you further. What do you see as the future for rural health?
I think rural healthcare will continue to evolve. I think that because of its dexterity, its size, it has the ability to adapt. You know, I think it's hard sometimes for large hospital systems to make the kinds of changes. I think our smaller hospitals have the ability to make those changes faster and be much more adaptable. So I think we will continue to evolve. I think innovation is going to come out of rural. You heard it here first, Bill. Innovation is going to come out of rural. And we will continue to recreate ourselves to meet the healthcare needs of our community.
Yes, I think you're making valid points, Peggy. Thank you. So, you know, that's some good things about the future. But what scares you the most about the future of rural health?
Bill, I'm not scared. I'm not scared at all. I see what lies before us as opportunity, and opportunity can be challenging, but it's also rewarding. So I refuse to define it any other way. It is opportunity.
I love that, Peggy. Thank you. So, okay, well, then this should be an easy question for you. What excites you the most about the future?
Well, I'm glad to be where I am. I'm glad to be working in the field of rural. I'm glad to be situated here at the California Hospital Association, and I will continue to support our small and rural hospitals here in California as they develop their relationship with their residents, continue to build the trust that is needed. I think trust is foundational to achieving the kinds of changes that are going to be needed in the future.
So, you know, we've covered a lot of ground in the short time we've been talking here, Peggy. If our listening audience only takes one thing away from our conversation today, what should that be?
Rural healthcare is an integral, vital component of all healthcare. You don't have urban healthcare without rural healthcare. It's an integral component of all healthcare in California and in the entire country.
Well said, Peggy. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for sharing your thoughts and the observations that you have on rural health and the experience in rural health, and thank you for sharing your stories.
You're so welcome, Bill. Thank you for having me.
And I want to thank everybody else that's out there listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever your favorite podcast app is, and subscribe to Rural Health Leadership Radio. And if you'd like to leave a rating or review in iTunes, you can go to our website, www.rhlradio.com, and click on the iTunes link. And to continue the conversation of leadership in rural health, you can join our LinkedIn group called Rural Health Leadership Radio. So until next week, let's keep working to improve healthcare in rural America.
If you would like to connect with today's guest, please send an email with your contact information to bill@billoxier.com. If you would like to be a guest or suggest someone else as a guest, have a question you would like to ask, or simply want to contact Rural Health Leadership Radio, please use that same email address, bill@billoxier.com. That's bill@billoxier.com. You can also visit our website at www.rhlradio.com.
We'd ask that you please support our sponsor, the Dynamic Leadership Academy for Rural Health. The Dynamic Leadership Academy for Rural Health's mission is to improve rural health one leader at a time.